Thank you so much for listening to Cooligans. In this episode, we talk about the LA Galaxy losing again when Sporting Kansas City didn't even take a shot. How is that possible? Everything bad is happening to them. Plus, we talk about Inter Miami finally winning, but does it even matter?
Doesn't even matter. Well, ask Luis Suarez after that game. We're also joined by two pro referees, Alyssa Nichols and Natalie Simon, join us on the show. So you get to hear some referees. Seriously, one of the most fun interviews you are ever going to hear. We also do Rapido Reactions. We talk about a couple topics in Europe, domestically and abroad. So all this and more today on The Cooligans.
Buddy, you were there. Had a little birthday party.
I was.
Picked a bar that fits about 40 people, then invited about 120 people.
Yeah, there was the challenge of who in this bar knows Alexis and who is just here because they wanted to get a drink.
Well, I did merge a bunch of people, right? I merged comedy friends. I merged soccer friends. I merged actual friends, and no one knows each other.
I love how you categorize them as actual friends.
I didn't know the what other else two, to say. The what am I going to say? Boring job friends?
Boring job friends is probably better.
Accounting friends?
Normies?
Corporate cornball friends? What do you want me to say? You know, here's people without healthcare, people with healthcare.
Got it.
So actual friends could visit a doctor, you know?
Okay.
But the cool thing was I picked a bar specifically because there was no kitchen. And when there's no kitchen, you could order food in. And I thought, you know what would be dope? Why don't I introduce to my friends my favorite halal truck?
Yeah.
So I'll reach out to the guy who owns a halal truck. He's the homie. Mm-hmm. I'll get him to pull up. I message him thinking this is going to go easy peasy. And he responds, can't do it, brother. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. And I was like, what the hell? And he goes, I have an event. I'm like, what other event do you have? You're a halal truck. You're always in the one spot. What's your event?
My favorite part is that you definitely have a friend that owns a halal truck. You know what I mean?
You know how I became friends with him? He owns a good halal truck.
Exactly.
And I'm like, I got to befriend this guy.
You go to every halal truck and be like, yo, I need an actual friend.
Yeah, if I can't call you by your first name, I'm not ordering your
you
mixed over
health
rice.
Insurance? I need to be your friend.
So I reached out to him. He said he can't. What I didn't know was that he reached out to my wife as soon as I texted him. He said, yo, I want to surprise Alexis.
He also reached out to me.
Yes. Yeah. And I was upset because a random Algerian dude hits you up to ask for my wife's phone number and you just give it to him? You don't even ask a follow-up question?
I just, the account was a food truck and I'm like, this guy definitely knows Alexis.
This is important.
I don't need any credential. You don't need to prove to me that you know Alexis. I didn't even look at the follows. I'm like, I know this person knows Alexis very personally.
Can I be honest? I'll take back my anger towards you because you're right.
Okay.
You know what I mean, that's probably a good way to look at it. Well, I didn't know he reached out to Dee and was like, yo, I want to surprise Alexis.
Yes, yes, yes.
So Dee was a little nervous because she's like, wait a minute. This dude's just pulling up. Does he think I'm buying all this food?
Uh-huh.
Because a lot of times when you rent out a restaurant or a food truck or whatever, they say like, here's how much money I make per hour. You have to cover that. That's like part of the rental.
Yeah, yeah.
And then moving to a new location and God forbid they get any tickets, which the cops were called on him a couple times. But long story short, this guy gave Donna a bunch of tickets and said, hand this out. I'm giving everyone free food.
Yeah.
I've never seen anything nicer. This is, I don't know.
He
I'm sure like
a very kind guy. Yeah.
There's like
sweet
soldiers, you know, getting back together with their dogs. You know, those videos, you know what I'm talking about?
They reunite. Yes.
They reunite. That was the word I was looking for. You know how emotional those are? Or like there's a guy coming back from like having studied abroad and surprised their mom, you know, they're hiding behind the curtain or whatever.
Okay, yes.
This is my version of that. Is a halal truck giving out 30 free meals to me and my friends.
There's never going
to
be a video of your dad walking through that door and reuniting.
No, in fact, if my dad was there, I'd say he has to pay for the halal food. Also, does anyone know which one of these guys is my dad? You know what's funny? It could be the halal guy
it
truck.
It could be. You never know. I mean, it's a very sweet thing. He can be your dad now.
Well, here's what I want to do. For everyone listening, if you ever find yourself in Astoria, New York, you got to go to a truck that's called Eat It. Now, I didn't name it, okay?
Okay.
It's not a great name, but the food is absolutely incredible. It's so good that I told all my friends, here's my order. I said, get the combo, get kafta, and you can pick chicken or lamb.
Put it on the menu. Why get the Alexis?
The Alexis. I'm working on it.
All right.
Let's get the Riyad Mahrez off of there and let's put on. But I told everyone to do that. When I got up there, finally, I'm like, I can eat. Let me go up and get some food. And I go, yo, let me get the combo kafta. And the guy's like, yo, we're all out of kafta. I was like, I have too many friends.
You got done. You got bro. You were too kind telling people you're
I should have told my friends, get the falafel.
right. Well, happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to me as well.
Yes,
last week.
Your birthday.
Your birthday party was also my birthday party.
Did somebody give out free sprouts at your birthday?
Okay.
Free green juice?
I just tossed seeds to all my friends. It was pigeons. Lovely. But welcome to the Cooligans, everybody. My name is Christian Polanco.
Hey, I'm Alexis Guerrero.
We are here, as always, on Yahoo Sports. And this is a special exciting episode because we have a lot of
folks in suits and holding briefcases. Exactly.
They have pads and uh-huh. They're taking notes.
Mm-hmm. We make an off color joke. You hear the click click of the pen.
It's like when you sit down with a therapist and you're like, why are you writing so much stuff? I didn't say that much.
This is like,
why are you writing?
This is like when I was a teenager and a parole officer showed up to our school and they were just standing in the doorway and everyone's like, wow, we all have good posture. This. Like, yo, why's Flavio really stressed right now?
Shout out to Flavio.
Yo, shout out to Flavio, bro.
Everybody always
owns three exotic car lots in Miami, by the way.
When you said exotic, I did not think you were going to say car lots after
that. Yeah, dude. He told me I could drive the Dodge Viper GTSR, which used to be my favorite car.
There's no Flavio with it, just a regular ass job.
You can't be
working at T-Mobile.
No one's ever said Father Flavio, you know what I mean? You don't get that job.
Welcome to the Cooligans. We have a hot show today for the Yahoo staff and everybody, but today we're joined, we have two guests, we have two amazing guests, we got referees.
That's crazy.
On the show, Alyssa Nichols and Natalie Simon.
They're
two referees that
they're pro referees.
Pro referees. So pro in general. On all soccer wise, they had two referees uh-huh. as well. And now there's been a concerted effort to, I think, rebrand how we sort of look at referees.
Make refs cool
yeah. again, bro. Yeah, dude. That's what they're trying to do. And
they were wearing aviators while we did the interview.
Okay. And I think I think this is a good example of that. So be on the lookout for that after this first segment. But yeah. let's get started.
Why don't we start with MLS? Because LA Galaxy played a wild one.
Yes.
They lost the game and their opponent didn't even take a shot on goal. Didn't even take a shot.
You would think they just had a little scrimmage out there with no other team. You know what I mean? Yeah. So Sporting Kansas City is hosting LA Galaxy, and this for the first time in Major League Soccer history, a team wins a game without taking a shot on goal or a shot at all.
At all.
XG 0.
0.00.
Shots 0. Shots on target 0. 1-0, winning the game.
All over the place.
This is one of the most insane things I've ever come across. I mean, it's also a nightmare to watch. This is not entertaining soccer.
If someone came to a soccer game for the first time, they're not coming back to the sport. this is impossible.
This is a poor representation.
You know what? We're gonna try cricket next.
Okay.
Because this was trash.
This is not a good advertisement for the sport.
Not just that, but I think it also goes to show that what's happening to LA Galaxy is historically wild, but also some of the worst luck we've ever seen.
You only have 3 points out of 11 matches.
That's so bad.
Out of just simply being bad, right? You also need some bad luck.
Right.
And this is, this is one of those, but also the amount of chances that LA Galaxy had in this game were, I mean, there's no reason why they couldn't at least draw. You understand that they're maybe not the best team in the world right now, but it's
like a when it rains, it pours kind of a thing. And also, like, we've talked to Troy Deeney, we've talked to some of these other former players, and we've asked, like, when you go through like a bad streak or what, like, how much is it you get in your own head? Or, and you know, Charlie said this, you know, Troy said it almost feels like overwhelming. It feels like nothing you do, it works out the way you planned it. It feels like your teammates are maybe just trying a little too hard and they're kind of putting themselves out of position. Everyone wants to be a hero, or people are afraid to be the one that makes the mistake, and it becomes a combo. It becomes this big cocktail. And I don't, you can name all these, all of it's happening in LA Galaxy. Every last one of these things.
Like at the same time.
All at the same time. But for 11 straight games, and you know, I've been I've been told I don't know what I'm talking about. I've had other people say like, yo, this, I think you're right. When I say the first 10 matches of the MLS season do not matter. Yes. Bro, I
tell you you're wrong all the time.
Yeah, you're one of the people who says I'm wrong. You know who says I'm right? The voice is in my head. But I honestly think in this situation, I'm wrong because this could lead. Either you bond together as a team.
Through the losses.
And, yeah, and
the
you
trials.
Make your way out of this. We had Johnny Russell on Morning Footy a long time ago, and we said, yo, you had this historically bad start with Sporting Kansas City. How'd you change it? And he said, we all went to the owner's ranch. And I was like, of course, the owner's got a ranch at Sporting Kansas City. You know, and he said, we all kind of sat around and like a campfire, and we tried to bond, and we tried to, like, tell stories and kind of just, like, get out of, like, whatever that rut was. LA Galaxy need to go to, what is it, Dubai? Where did Arsenal go?
Well, that's what Kai Havertz got injured, so I don't think.
Well, okay, well then other than that, but maybe Kai Havertz isn't there. They need to go somewhere where they could just ride horses, you know what
a
I mean?
A retreat of some kind.
A dude ranch. Go to a dude ranch, bro.
You know, connect with their healthy masculinity.
100%. And also, someone needs to sage the building while they're gone. Get rid of whatever evil spirits are there.
I mean, look, we talked about this ad nauseum about just like all the changes that they had to make. But even if you have to make a lot of changes, like you would imagine, the new guys adjust. Mm-hmm. I'm like, okay, I see what's going on here. This is the culture of the team, and let me do what I got to do. And it's just wild to go from the, you know, how good they were just a couple months ago to this. You know, just probably, I mean, look, you have to put it on Greg Vanney.
I was about to say, how much of this do you blame on Greg Vanney? Like, what percentage of this would you blame on him?
He's changed the lineup pretty much every single game. I mean, he has to get at least 75%. I would say that other 25%, and the game against Sporting Kansas City is an example of like the opportunities for Paintsil, for Gabriel Peck, for several other players.
I mean, and it's more like, could you ask?
You're getting the ball in good positions, and if you don't finish, I mean, that's Greg Vanney can't go in there and head the ball for you.
Greg Vanney's like, my job is to build tactics that get you the ball in that position. Yeah. You got to be. We're paying you the money to score that goal.
It says a lot about, you know, what the players that are gone. It's not having like Ricky Pouge, but it just says so much about the confidence that those players that are missing brought to the players that are on the field right now. So
I also want to say, I think this goes to show the importance. I feel like whenever DPs are talked about in this league, it almost feels like the further up the field you bring in a DP, in other words, a striker,
sure,
the bigger the spotlight, the better it is, because you get the goals, you get the celebration highlights. I still think the smartest DPs are the ones in the midfield, especially in the attacking side, that can do something that your average American player can't. Like a Ricky Pouge, it just goes to show just how essential having someone like that in the middle of the pitch, just above the box, sort of patrolling, picking out players, how important that is. You can see it. Look at Pencil. Like, you're not getting as open. You're not getting as good an opportunity.
They need service from good players.
Yeah, man.
I mean, like, and to me, even you just making that example, is like Calesio at New England. I mean,
even though he's kind of passing him to himself at this point, in order to win, he's like, bro, y'all relax, I got this.
But you can see in last season how you know they were pretty bad, and then this season he's like, you can see that I'm tired of being embarrassed by these fools. Like, we need to step up. And he's clearly doing that. They just won 4 in a row after having a terrible start. All clean sheets. Yeah, it's impressive. And again, when you have that I don't even know what's the exact word. Not like a maestro.
Like a talisman.
Yeah. It's just, you know, who takes ownership and is a DP. You can see, you know, the effects that it can have. Let's move on to Inter Miami. They played, you know, they've been essentially looking pretty bad in CONCACAF Champions Cup in the last 2 games.
I think it's the first time they won three. They lost three in a row with Messi.
They lost both Champions Cup games, and then they lost to, who did they lose to in MLS? They lost 4-3. It was FC Dallas.
FC Dallas.
Which is a crazy game. But they look like the Inter Miami that we are used to seeing. I don't know what happened.
They put Fafa Picó back in the starting lineup, and I think that kind of opens them up offensively. And I think defensively, they're like, hey, man, we are what we are, which is going to be like you know, hell on wheels every time that they get a chance to attack. But you can see like the 90% of their squad is surrounding the opposing box. And they're like, all right, we're going to counter press. And they scored a goal off that.
Yeah.
They're like, we're going to counter press. You make that counter press, there's two guys that are young enough and fast enough to try to catch up with you. And that's it.
So, look, they play against Red Bull and they scored five or six. I forgot how many they scored. They go, four. But they scored, I think they scored six in the last, last time they played.
Yeah.
It feels like the last few weeks, like most teams are kind of figuring out Miami and like, you know, let's not get blown out by the superstars that they have. Right. Red Bull, like, no, we don't know exactly what.
We ain't even going to look at tape. You know what I mean? I'm not paying attention to what happened in these last three matches.
It's like you just saw what Vancouver did. Yeah. Maybe just do a little bit of that. And no, Suarez scores. Messi scores. Yeah,
Suarez finally scores.
I know. Yeah. This is the last few weeks, I think, because they haven't gotten the rest that they, you know, from just that 7 days rest between games. I think Champions Cup and MLS, it's probably just a little too much for these players. Because even Messi, they didn't really look like himself in those two games against Vancouver.
I mean, they're all old, right? I mean, there's only so much you can do.
Respectfully.
I mean, I'm a spring chicken. I'm 27. I just look like shit. But I'm really stressed. But I think what you're seeing is the effects of like, all right, it's a summer, you know, game here. You know, the season is in the middle of the summer. Bro, it's hot.
Yeah.
You got to play a lot of games. You got to travel very far. Little by little, that will take effect. But more importantly, I think it goes to point that if you're a team that's going to come in and say, we're going to play our game and try to make you beat us with our game and not here's the tactic that seems to work against Miami, you might get cooked.
Yeah.
You might win, but you might get cooked.
And it also might also just be a thing of like when Miami is actually rested, this is what they look like.
They're certainly better. But also, Mascherano's got no plan B. He's like, hey, man, we're going to do this. And if you beat us, then hey, good on you. You know what I mean? Back to our mansions.
I want to show this. This is so Luis Suarez scores his goal.
Oh, my God.
You can see the frustration of like, the relief of finally.
Can we put a trigger warning on this, by the way, before you show it?
Yeah, I mean, I guess if, you know, I don't think it's that worrisome, but.
Are you kidding me? I watched this and I went, oh!
This is just an interesting goal celebration. And so obviously we see the goal.
Play the Nutcracker in the background as you do this.
And then Suarez, I don't know what he's trying to do, but my man straddles the ad board. He looks like he's trying
straddles the ad board.
He kicks.
Three balls are kicked in this scene. One of them is the soccer ball.
Dude, what?
I think he missed it.
on MLS on wrap up, I think Dax was saying like he's already had his kids, so he's good to go.
Yeah, I hope so.
But
he can't be comfortable. Does he wear a cup? I would hope so.
No, you can't wear cups wearing soccer. It would be impossible.
Some do.
Who does? Anybody?
People. Maybe the kids. I don't know. People. Someone's. They sell cups for soccer players. You know,
I was playing. I was playing in my Sunday league yesterday, and someone passed the ball to me very, very quickly, and it hit me in that same area.
Uh-huh.
But which is, and it's like it's part of the game. It happens, but it wasn't so bad that I could stop playing. I controlled the ball off my balls.
Hey.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
But the funniest thing was that the team I was playing against, the defender. Went like, ooh, nutshot. Like, while I'm playing.
Was he wearing Oakleys on the back of his head and doing a surf
motion? It's funny. I'm like, why are you commenting on it? What, you worried about me, dog?
Why is one of the dude terrific or whatever those people guys? Why is that guy there? I didn't know you played with the Impractical Jokers. That's really cool.
But the thing I wanted to talk about with Inter Miami was on MLS wrap up. This was it was a bit of a debate between Bradley Wright Phillips, Dax, and Sasha because there was a comment about the fact that they won this game that them getting back on in winning ways. They'd lost three in a row.
Yeah.
And they had never in Messi's era. They had not lost three in a row.
That was the first time.
But BWP was talking about that. That it wasn't a big deal that they won a game because they're not chasing the supporter shield. It's not a big deal that.
I know what you're talking about. Yeah,
three in a row. And this I just only want to bring this up because the comparisons over like promotion relegation and every game mattering and whatever. And then we hear. BWP, you know, a British accent being like, it's not a big deal that they lost three in a row because they're not chasing the Shield. And it's like, all right, this, it seems like your brethren would be like, that's a ridiculous thing to say.
We're
like,
used to British people saying that's the winner of the league.
Exactly, right? Every match matter. And it's hilarious seeing the panel of two other of his teammates. Two Americans.
I mean, like, you don't know what you're talking about, fam.
Where they won the Supporter Shield together. And Bradley Wright Phillips being like, oh, it's not a big deal that they lost three in a row, that they're not chasing that, they're going for MLS Cup. And it's like, hold up. It's like genuinely confusing.
Do you agree or not? Forget about the fact that he's British. What do you feel?
Agree with that. Why are we comfortable losing?
You think the Supporter Shield is important?
It's not even about the Supporter Shield at this point. It is just like, he seems comfortable. He said it's not a big deal that they lost three in a row.
I think what he's saying, and I agree with him, is the rules in MLS make it so that it doesn't matter if you lose a few games because it's all about building momentum to get to the playoffs and win MLS Cup. We talk about winning MLS Cup. That's the important part. Supporter Shield, we don't really talk about like that. That doesn't really mean you won the league because we don't have a balanced schedule. And until the league prioritizes that or for some reason gives it more credit, it really doesn't matter.
But no one's going to be comfortable whether you win the Supporter Shield or not.
It doesn't matter if you lose three games at the beginning of the season. Losing three games on the way to the playoffs or in the playoffs, you're done.
Losing three games in just at all, it's not nobody would choose to do that.
No, but it doesn't matter.
No.
It really doesn't matter.
Regardless of if you're going to win the Supporter Shield or not, I think that's just a terrible thing to say.
I agree, but the league doesn't. Because there's no promotion and relegation and winning the league and it's not having a balanced schedule, those three things aren't here or don't matter. It doesn't matter if you lose three games. You probably have pride and you don't want to lose three. It probably hurts to lose three, but in the grand scheme of things, it doesn't matter.
Can't be the mentality. That's the one part of the you know, European model or just promotion relegation that we should adopt a little bit of just like,
Well, what's the punishment for losing three games?
Seeding. Maybe you don't get a home game. To say that it's not a big deal.
65% of the league makes it into the playoffs.
To say that it's not a big deal. And even you saying it doesn't matter.
I'm saying.
No.
Categorically, it does not matter.
I mean, Dax and Sasha Kleshchen disagree with you and with BWP. Okay. So.
All right. Well, me and BWP. We'll start our own rap group
and go out.
He carries most of the rapping because he's clearly good at it.
All right. Last thing before we get to the refs.
Also, let's get the nut crunch off the screen. It's very uncomfortable.
This is like a thing. It's like a, I don't know if it's a phobia.
Not a phobia. It's PTSD.
our surprises so far of the season. We thought we would just see where we are in Major League Soccer after 11 matches. But for me, I mean, it has to be the Vancouver Whitecaps.
And I would have said the same thing had you not beaten them.
Yeah. But the Vancouver has looked. And even in this game, they played against I don't remember who they played against, but they RSL
Diego Luna scored the other goal.
So but even in a game like that where they rest Brian White and they mix the roster up a little bit, they literally look fantastic. I mean they're giving like a little Columbus Crew vibes as far as what Sorensen is doing out there. The link up play, just the dynamism between wingers and midfield. Everybody is just on point. Tristan Blackman, who we had on the show years ago when he was
looking
at LAFC,
like a prime striker,
and he is like now the veteran guy, and scoring. He scored the game winner in CONCACAF Champions Cup against Pumas, and then scores bangers with his feet, bro. He's a center back. So the confidence is just on another level. And then it's just they are literally the most fun team to watch.
They
right
are
now
very
in
exciting.
Major League Soccer.
And I thought they would take a step back after losing or getting rid of Sartini. And look at them; they're absolutely incredible. And it's plug and play, by the way. He's really rotating his players, so he's got a sea of players that are all in the same tactic.
The reason it's such a surprise for me is because they made it to. They were in the ninth or the eighth playoff spot last season. Portland was in the ninth, but Vancouver couldn't host their playoff game because there was a motocross rally in at BC Place. Right. So they had to host their game in Portland and still won.
So now you just said that about this league.
Yeah.
And you still want to tell me losing three games at the beginning of the season is important when you can't even host your own playoff game?
Did they win the MLS Cup?
What I'm saying is, come on. We're talking about a league that, you know, you can a motocross is going to stop you from playing in your own stadium.
I get your point. But yeah, losing three in a row is
Remember the New York City FC playoff game where we lost like 2/3 of the parking because the circus is in town? Anything can happen in this league. It's absolutely incredible.
My surprise
is going to be Philadelphia Union. I think Bradley Carnal has them playing absolutely incredible. A shock to me. What are they in third place? Kai Wagner is looking really good. Tiber Ebo, I mean, scored, I think, 7 goals so far this season.
Yeah.
Absolutely out of this world the way he's got them playing. And I thought they would take a major step back without Jim Curtin. I still think Jim Curtin probably is a better coach getting him through the playoffs. I think we've seen Bradley Carnell's system not exactly work once it really gets into crunch time. And maybe that changes with this Philadelphia Union. But I thought the Philadelphia Union fans would have nothing to root for. And they're surprisingly a much better team than I expected.
Yeah. And but Bradley Carnell is also the team is a little bit in the image of St. Louis. And so he brought over Indiana Vasilev.
Right.
And then they also getting rid of Jack McGlynn, which just seemed like a mistake at the time.
All their best players.
But it's also one of those things of like they got rid of a very good player and their team is better. Also Houston is better.
Gazdag, everyone.
Yeah. So it seems to be working out pretty well. So, all right. Let's move on. Again, Natalie Simon, Alyssa Nichols. We've never had refs on the show before. And it's truly like...
We were so nervous.
But
I thought I was going to get a red card.
This was
seriously
one of the most fun interviews we've ever done. Mm-hmm. Like, again, like I think a lot of people don't get to see this side of referees. And referees on a comedy podcast is probably incredibly unique. I don't know how many referees have done others.
Can we give a little credit to Pro for allowing them to be on the show? I think that's huge.
100%. So Pro turned over a new leaf. Stop yelling at the referees. That's
or just go ahead and keep yelling at the referees. But now you know who you're yelling at.
So here's our conversation. With the refs, Natalie Simon and Alyssa Nichols. I am absolutely thrilled for our next guest. This is the first guest, plural, because this is the first time we've had referees on the show. So this is...
We got the feds in the building, bro.
The cops are here.
All y'all getting parking tickets and red cards.
Okay, they came strapped with whistles. But this is cool because, look, we're speaking to two referees from PRO, the Professional Referee Organization, which is the...
Wonderful how that worked out to also be called PRO.
So, obviously, the refereeing group that handles, in U.S. soccer. So, absolutely thrilled to be joined by our two guests that... And this is also not the first time we've done an introduction.
I'm actually nervous at how long it's taken you. Because the last time we did an introduction, as soon as we finished, all hell broke loose and the interview was over.
People get, frustrated with referees. We watch sports.
For us. We've done whole episodes on it. You know?
People get frustrated with referees. And now we got a tornado.
I'm so sorry.
This is.
And the lights went out.
Yeah, I think actually the internet might have.
The internet went out at Natalie's. This is remarkable.
She closed the garage door at the right time.
Talk about that in a second, but I'm absolutely thrilled to be joined by our next two guests. We are joined by Natalie Simon and Alyssa Nichols, referees for Pro. To finally get this perspective. Referees don't do a lot of shows, but then to be on a comedy podcast is something even bigger. So. I just want to applaud you for joining us on this program. Thank you, Natalie and Alyssa. Thank
you. Excited to be here.
All right. So where to begin? Let's just start with
why?
Why?
Okay, why'd you do this?
not the podcast.
Not the podcast. We know why, but why? What made you? I guess maybe Natalie, if you want to go first, what inspired you to make this decision to become a referee?
It's not a normal career choice.
No.
For most athletes, you know, it's kind of one of those things it's not that your goal or your target to become a referee, but I started playing soccer when I was really young. I was 8 years old and I played all the way through college, a little bit of semi-professional soccer as well. But my assistant coach in college, he was a national assessor within U.S. soccer. And he watched me play through 4 years, and he saw just how much of a pain in the butt I was of referees. I was the kind of player, I would get a yellow card almost every match. And like every season around playoff time, I would come up with the issue of yellow card accumulation. So I would have to like really be careful right before the playoffs. And it was always an issue on the field. So he offered me to come out to one of his classes that he taught. And I took the Saturday class and fell in love with it. And found a way to stay close to the game after my playing career.
When the hacker gets hired by the FBI,
right,
to stop other people from hacking,
to find the cracks in the system.
you a pest. You know what you should do is go. Tom became Jared, bro. This is crazy.
But that has to do. Your confidence has to be affected a little bit when you're out there putting in challenges, getting fouls, trying to help the team, and then somebody on the staff is like, you'd be a great ref.
Yeah.
That has to do something to you, right?
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, I was also very vocal with referees. My personality was big on the field. I was the stereotypical psychopath you see on the field.
Okay.
Wreaking havoc, you know?
Right. So there's certain players that you see, you're like, okay, I know you because I know myself.
Right.
Right. So.
I see myself. Yeah.
Right. I love that.
You're like, I know what you're going through right now. But that was the yellow card.
Absolutely. And,
Alyssa, yeah.
Alyssa, you started refereeing at 17 years old, which is
that's all monitor activity, bro. That's crazy.
Are you telling me you were a psychopath like at 17?
You were snitching at such an efficient rate at 17 that they said we need to put a whistle in this young lady's hand.
But well,
so my story's a little different.
Oh, right.
So I was a multi-sport athlete and my parents wouldn't let me get a job. So I was like begging them, like, can I please get a job? Like, I want money to do things that I want to do that they wouldn't pay for. So they wouldn't let me get a job. And I had a teammate when I was playing soccer that was like, hey, you could do like little kids, U9, U10, like on the weekends in the morning for like little extra cash. It's super flexible. And like your parents probably will be okay with it because it's not like a consistent full time type of thing. So I like asked my mom and she was like, we'll try it out. We'll see. So I was doing like U9, U10 on the weekends. She was like, okay, that's fine. Like she started letting me drive to the games by myself, which is where she made the mistake.
Okay.
Because then I started doing older games and I was like, I think I really like this. Like I'm gonna do this every weekend on my weekends off. So I kind of like, they call it like you kind of get the referee bug where it's like you just get addicted to it and you're just like, this is amazing. So for me, it was kind of like the only option I had to make money as a teenager. And so it started that way. And then I just wouldn't let it go.
I mean, also, look, I just got to be honest. Like, to come from a black family and then saying, like, you can't get a job, I don't even understand what.
Crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
For two Latino kids, we were told at 8, you better get a job.
You're going to be jobless at 14? Yeah. Not happening.
Not in my house. How you going to pay my rent?
So, I mean, you two in particular, I know Alyssa, you have the particular accolade of being the first female referee from
Mississippi. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So this is the first. This is pretty legendary. You're also a young referee. I remember I was playing in TST last year.
Won't stop talking about it.
Okay. So we were there.
Great tournament.
I was working just like you were, but you were refereeing the game that you had refereed the final. So you've gotten like really cool opportunities at a young age, and then also to be the first. Can you talk about that a little bit and whether that means anything to you? Is it just, I'm just here to do my job, or how impactful is that for you?
Yeah. I mean, it means a lot, obviously, coming from a state that's not like super big in like regards to soccer. It definitely was not something I was thinking about when I started refereeing. And I honestly didn't even really know it was a thing until I started to kind of move up the ranks and realize like there wasn't a female referee from our state that had been represented on the national stage or international stage. And so I think it wasn't something I was aiming for. I just wanted to be like the best referee I could be. And I wanted to, you know, be a professional referee. And that was my goal. But I think having the accolade of like being the first from Mississippi is obviously an honor. And it's something that I always remember when I step on the field that I'm representing not just myself, but like my entire state. And so it's a huge honor. And I'm really happy about it, but also like glad to see that there's a lot more other female referees that are now coming through the pipeline from our state and moving up the ranks. So it's really nice. And TST is so much fun.
I had a
that was my second time being there.
I had such a great time. I want to.
I know you would have a good time, but for the refs to also have a good time, that's a big deal.
The one thing it was hot though, right? I mean,
it was hot. I think, but at night it was fine.
Yeah, at night it was.
But also, you're from Mississippi. Mississippi gets incredibly hot and humid, though. No,
I mean that's true, but like it's different when you're outside in the heat versus just like moving about throughout your day.
So and I want
to
feel this.
I'd run up to you and be like, give me a red card. I got to get out of here. I got to go to air conditioning.
I can mention this to both of you because I had a very unique experience at TST with the referee. I don't remember his name, but in the first game, it was I was playing on a team called Summer of Soccer and we were playing Manhattan Kickers. And we had one of the most unique, two of the most unique moments, I think, in probably refereeing history in this one game. Early in the game, in the first half.
I'm like, where is this going?
Yeah. This is only going to be a way he was jilted of a penalty. It's the only way. He's like, no. The most in history.
Jamie Watson, you may know, he's one of the announcers for MLS Season Pass. You may have worked a game of his or something like that. But Jamie Watson is on our team. He has a goal line clearance. Referee calls a handball. And he's like, I did not touch it with my hand. He gets a red card. Everybody's like, what the? This is TST. His first game. I'm like, what? This is mad serious. Why are we giving a red card so early? He gets a red. And then the opposing team, the guy that took the shot, told the ref, hey, he actually did stop it. He didn't hit it with his hand.
Oh, wow.
Referee says, okay, no problem.
Red card to you for second guessing me.
Yeah, how dare you?
All of y'all are on.
Undermine my authority.
All of y'all out of here.
Wow.
So that happened. Unbelievable sportsmanship. I could not.
He rescinded the red.
Yeah, he rescinded the red. Yeah. So we're still playing. And then.
Yeah, wow.
So now late in the game as well. There is when it's a target score time or whatever.
Yes.
They take a shot and one of our defenders blocks it and clears it off the line again. And there were like camera people behind the post and they were like, yo, that went in. That was actually a goal. But the ref let it go on and then we score on the other end. So now the game keeps going. And then at that moment, you know, the players are like, yo, that was a goal. And then our teammate, the one that cleared it, he said, hey, that actually did go in. And the game and the game ended right there. And I spoke to the referee. I saw him like on the concourse the next day. And I said, hey, thank you for like handling that the way you did. I mean, he didn't have to rescind the red. He could have just given us the goal. Sure. He could have just whatever.
Right.
But it was like. It took a lot of sportsmanship for both teams to do that, but it also for the ref to believe us and listen to us and go with that, and it made for a fair result, and it was just one of the most unique sport. I can't believe I played in that game, which is also ridiculous. I'm a comedian, but when I tell you that, what do you think of? I'd love to hear both of your perspectives. And Natalie, you can go first, but of just that kind of response from a referee.
I mean, I was never that kind of player. I'm in awe right now. Whatever it took to win.
Yeah, thank you, Natalie, because I'm sitting here going, what type of schoolboys, what type of church group team is this?
You guys not want to win? I'm so confused.
Win at all costs. You can ask for apologies later.
It sounds like you guys need video review at this tournament. That's what it sounds like.
That seems like, I'm sure TSD is going to make that investment.
Yeah.
No, but I think... Wow. I think as referees, like there's some of us that operate with a certain level of humility and like openness to being wrong and getting feedback from the players. It is the player's game. It really is. It's not our game. So I think just referee being open, I love that. That's beautiful.
Okay.
Yeah. That's what the game is about. That's what the game's about.
Yeah, the it's interesting. You know, I played in a Sunday league here in New York, and we had a new referee that was British. NYC Footy does not have British referees.
I also just want to promise you guys, this whole interview isn't about Christian's playing career. promise you, we're gonna talk to you guys about you.
I'm just saying, he was a new ref that was like, I think. Like refs, like either Sunday League or fairly high
in England.
Yeah. But and I messaged him after, and I told him, I was like, yo. So he messaged me. He was like, oh, you're from Cooligans, and he had recognized me. And I told him, like, you were a great ref. Like, this is I'm not used to this level of like ref in my Sunday league. And he was like, at the final whistle, he did both hands at the center circle. I'm like,
oh, actually, that's what I was gonna ask you. Do you have like a fancy final whistle? Like, are you practicing it? No?
I don't think I really practice it. I just have a standard way of doing it. I don't know if I practice it.
That's your moment to show off.
How I end it.
Isn't that like your moment to shine there? You know?
I confess. I practiced a lot of little things like that.
Natalie,
was coming up, I wanted to look like I was one of the people I saw on.
Yeah.
I love it.
The pause and the beep, beep.
It adds a certain
tension.
Yeah, it's like a score
drama,
for a movie.
Flair.
You know what I mean? Like, dun, yeah. Dun, whatever. Yes.
Everybody has their own style too.
Yeah. I'm weirdly like I follow enough referees on like TikTok and stuff like that. So I'm like, I'm a little bit of a ref nerd.
Oh, you on Ref Talk?
I'm on Ref Talk.
Oh, okay.
You on Ref Talk?
I don't know.
Sorry, your account. Ref Talk is popular right now.
Certified.
What kind of whistle we using? I've been seeing all the different types of whistles. I didn't even think that this was even a part of the game. But the referees, they focus on what kind of whistles they use. What kind of, how do you note the cards? Where do you, what card do you keep in what pocket?
That's
so
right.
Let's start. We'll go with each one. Whistle. Yes. What kind of whistle, Natalie? What kind of whistle are you using?
I happen to Valkyrie. I think a lot of us use that.
I also use a Valkyrie. Yeah.
Okay.
Is that okay? Is it dangling off the neck, or you got the ring whistle? You know the people who got it strapped to their hand?
You can't look. They're laughing at you about the neck whistle thing.
It's definitely not dangling around. It's not. But if mine were, it would be off of a gold chain.
There you go. She got the Cuban link with the whistle. You know what I mean? I'm like, I'm with Natalie on this one.
Yes, and it will be very big and obnoxious.
And then when it comes to yellow and red cards, where are we keeping them? I feel like most it's in the, like, usually.
Red feels up here, yellow feels back, or yellow is back pocket. Red is up here.
What's
red is back pocket for sure.
That's right.
And then the yellow is it's in the right or top right pocket for me.
Okay.
Same for me as well.
Same all right.
For me,
okay. Seems like pretty standard.
Wait, all right. So let's say you blew the whistle, right? Christian in one of his amazing games that he's gonna tell you about.
Right.
Slide tackle somebody, right? Probably to save a small child, but still against the rules. So you go to give him a yellow, you blow the whistle, you walk up to Christian, and then I see the pen come out. What are you writing? Are you writing it on the actual yellow card? Is it on a notepad adjacent to it? And what are you writing? Are you writing like, this dude is a prick? Like, what are you writing?
Just a little reminder to yourself.
He know. Oh, no, I know you. What are you writing on that? What are you writing on, and what are you putting on there?
Yeah, so I write on the actual card, and I'm writing, usually it's the number, the type of, like, why I'm giving the caution, and the time.
Okay.
Yeah, so I actually don't write on the cards. I have, like, a little, like, small leather booklet that I keep, like, notes in, and so I write the number of the player, the caution type, like what the reason is for the caution, and then the time.
I love it. I mean, Alyssa's a stenographer
there. Shorthand. She got the little curls in joint. Do you ever put stuff like, he knows what he did? Like, you know what I mean? No, all right.
Okay, I think you need a little bit more detail than that. Yeah.
Well, you know, sometimes I'll see refs do this, and they'll walk up to the player, and they'll count, like, all right, you've got three now, and now here you go. Are you writing those incidents down, or are you just keeping track of them as they go along?
Yeah, we just keep track as we go along, and usually it's a team effort from the whole crew on the field, so we kind of, like, oh, 13's had one, oh, 13's had two. And then everybody kind of just keeps an eye on the number. And then we remind each other if maybe one of us forgets or something. So that way we can warn the player.
That's like a comedy club. It's the wait staff that tells the booker when you're bombing.
That's true.
It's true.
Yeah.
Because the wait staff's like, I'm trying to make tips. So it's the wait staff you got to be nice to. Because they'll be the ones that tells the booker, don't book this dude again.
Alyssa, you had mentioned earlier, you said that you got the refereeing bug. And I want to ask both of you.
Is there a cure?
Is there? where is there vaccine available for this? But can you describe what that is? Because I think to some people, the idea of a referee usually has to deal with so much criticism. And
yes.
So if you have a refereeing bug, it's like, get this bug off me immediately, because you see what they deal with. And even as a fan, I can also be, I've been mad at referees so many times in my life. But now that we've been doing this show, I have a much more empathy for what you guys go through. But this refereeing bug, what is it? What does it feel like? And when was the moment that you knew that you got bit?
Excuse me. So I think for me, it's like being a part of the game, you still feel a part of the game. Like, you're no longer able to play, or you don't play anymore, but you still feel the intensity, the adrenaline, the excitement of like being in the game. And then when you have big decisions that happen in the game and you get them right, like there's this feeling of like accomplishment, like you did something really good and you're like super excited. And it just kind of like, it's a little addicting. Like, you just want to feel like that all the time. You're like, oh, I always want to get the decision right. I want to be in big moments in the game where like they're big tackles, or I'm managing players and I'm keeping control of a volatile situation. And I think for me, honestly, like I think I was like 19 and I did like my first like U19 or U18 boys game as a center referee. And it was like, I was like, oh, I'm here. Like, I'm present. I'm like excited. And I like demanded the respect of the players, and they respected me. And I think that for me is how like I would say I caught the bug, because I was just like, I want to feel this excitement and this adrenaline being a part of the game at this level. And at the time, that was the highest level I had refereed, and having the respect of the players and getting the decisions right. So I think it's this feeling of like accomplishment. I think.
Yeah, Natalie, I would love to hear your thoughts as well.
Yeah, kind of a lot of the same. Like, it's the best seat in the house for the matches, you know. I think after my playing career finished, I tried coaching for a bit, but it felt like you only have so much control as a coach, you know. You're kind of watching things from the outside, but it's something about being on the field and being a part of the game. I really love interacting with the players, managing the game. The burden is heavy.
Yes.
I mean, there's decisions from years ago that will sometimes keep me up at night, you know, but I think it's the passion for the game and the passion for, you know, what we've been able to do throughout our careers. It's hard to pick one moment for me. I feel like there were a lot of like youth tournaments and things that I got selected for that I didn't expect so early in my career, like youth nationals and little moments like that, that really made me feel like I was good enough. You know, I think as throughout your career, as you're progressing, it's hard to know, like, can I do this? Am I good enough to do this at this level? But every now and then you get big moments, and maybe a final or a championship game or something like that. And you really get to shine and showcase your skills, and you know that you belong.
I'm going to pitch something, because I love the fact that it feels like you're still a part of the game and it allows you to be involved. And I know Christina Uncle mentioned this, that like the rosters are tight right now. There's not a lot of people signing up to be referees, which is crazy, because you'd imagine, like you're saying, there's a lot of people whose career maybe ended early for some reason, or they didn't reach the levels they wanted to, and this is a way to stay in the game. So I think I'm gonna fix it for you, okay? So I'm about to pitch something, okay? Because I think I can maximize. I can add 25% more referees in the snap of a finger. Okay, availability for right. We don't need a fourth official. Now, hear me out. Now, what's my guy do the whole game? Bro, he or she, this? Bro, we could just get a clock. You know what I mean? Like, you got, we got technology. Y'all got Apple Watches. Oh, you could be like, it's 6 minutes. And listen, we're good.
We good with a lot more sports officials than that.
Yes, that is so true. One of the it's hardest so true.
They get yelled at a lot. I mean, the coaches,
yes.
Right? They are the proxy for the two managers, right?
You guys have no idea what we do.
There's a lot. There's a lot that happens.
What more that can't be handled by an iPad? What does the fourth division do that can't be handled by an iPad? Now, hear me out. That leaves you more games to referee. There's more
referees available. Yeah. I'm not necessarily agreeing with Alexis, but this is his idea. I'm just saying.
Oh,
what more do they do?
I was going to say, yeah. So I think fourth officials are underrated, like 100%. Okay. So fourth officials, like, you manage the technical areas so that it doesn't like overflow onto the field. So like reminding coaches of their respected areas, reminding substitutes of their respected areas, making sure that players are not entering the field when they're not supposed to. And then you also are a part of the referee team. So there are things that happen off the ball, things that happen that's not in the sight of the referee or the assistant referee, that the fourth official helps with: fouls, misconduct, things like that. And then another thing that is also really important is that we are athletes on the field, like referees and assistant referees. So when we get injured, which it does happen sometimes when we're on the field, you have to have someone available to go into the game.
You need a sub.
Like, if you don't have a bench, official, yeah. Okay, options.
I wasn't too sure of that. Now I know.
Yes.
So that's also really important.
A couple of years ago, there was that meme or something in an MLS game where the sideline, the AR was called for a sub. I don't even know who it was, but he was on one knee and he was like, bro, I'm done. I need to get out of here. Yeah. So I imagine they switched with the fourth official. Yeah, you need somebody. The coaches need somebody to yell at.
Right.
The one thing I will say is when I look at the fourth official on camera, they don't look happy to be the fourth official. When you get assigned fourth official, are you like, yay? Or you're like, or is it nice?
That's like if like in a business meeting, they're like, Christian, you take notes. And you're like, I want to take notes today.
I want to say stuff.
I got ideas too.
So when you get assigned as a fourth official, how do you feel about it?
You know, I embrace it because I feel like as a referee, when I've had really good fourth officials, the game go smoothly because coaches do have an impact on the energy, the temperature of the match. But when you have a really good fourth official that's supportive, they're there to back up decisions or to help make decisions on the field, like everything just flows smoothly. So when I get a fourth official, I take it with pride and I want to do my best to support the referee, to support the crew, to make sure that everything off the field they don't have to worry about.
Love it.
And they can just do their job.
Holding the big clock. You got to show.
That's our moment. Right? Come on, man. That's our moment too.
Yeah, you got your abs. You did crunches the night before. You ready? I get 90 degree turn, bro. It's crazy. I've been working on my flexibility. I got one question. It's a yes or a no.
Okay.
VAR. Does it make your job as referee easier or harder?
Ooh.
I would say
I don't know if they can answer this.
Real answer of it. I would say it makes it easier most of the time.
Most of the time.
Wow, political answer. The great governor of Mississippi.
I think I would agree with Alyssa. The only thing is, I think now the game, because when I played, this was before technology too. But I think the game is now under a microscope. And now every decision is broken apart piece by piece. So even something simple like offside, you know, is now called within millimeters in some cases. So I feel like the game is now taken into, we've now just zeroed in on decisions and everybody has a million different angles. So we're kind of competing against technology in a way, but we've also been able to use it to save the game. Like it's really taken a lot of pressure off of us.
Yes.
Where back in the day, you would have a decision that was made in World Cup finals and you'd see it in the newspaper the next day.
Right, right.
Yeah. That would change.
It's getting, I don't know. I mean, VAR, when was it instituted? Like 8-9 years ago already or something like that? Like,
Jesus.
It's getting harder to remember what the game was like before VAR. Yes. So but sometimes it does feel like it introduced a new person to get mad at.
Yeah.
We were ready.
Someone in an air conditioned booth.
No, but we did VAR.
We did the trial of it
at a coaches conference in Baltimore, and we did, and we were with Sabiga.
Yeah, yeah, shaved head.
Oh, yeah.
Sabiga, right? Sitting him over my shoulder. He's like, "What do you think this call?" I'm like, "Hey, this is intense. Relax,
relax."
I don't got the referee bug. All right, I need a little bit more time. So it is pretty intense. I do want to also ask about just the, you know, it's obviously impossible to deny or dismiss the fact that you are two black female referees in this game, and they are not many, let alone just male or female.
Yeah, there's not many black folks referee, and there's not that many women referee.
Right, I mean,
we need to get more and more.
It's interesting because, you know, watching games for like in the United States or Canada, you will see black referees. There are more. You watch, you know, I watch a lot of like European matches, and it's much more rare. Yeah. But the fact that you two are refereeing at such a high level, I mean, what does it mean? You know, I was asking just about being the first female woman in Mississippi, but to be two black female referees refereeing at this game, what does that mean to you? And you know, what do you think it means? Just the impact that it makes on other people.
Yeah, I think it's huge. It's undeniable. I think when Alyssa and I were both kind of coming up, there weren't many people that looked like us. There was nobody that could really say like, "Oh, I want to be this person." There was no one that really looked like us that we could really identify with as we were coming up in our careers. So we kind of had to pave our own way. And there's different obstacles and battles that we fought to get to where we're at. We don't necessarily have the quote unquote look of most referees you see in TV and at tournaments and big events. So we've kind of had to, even on the field, our presence on the field and how players view us, like that's all different as a black woman. But I think we've been able to navigate that and form our own path. And I think it's inspired a whole generation of young black women that are coming up behind us too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's come when we were coming up, like it was very interesting to watch professional referees on TV because sometimes you couldn't really relate. And so you were kind of like, how do I get there? Like, what do I need to do to get there? And like she said, there are obstacles and roadblocks that you run into. But I think the biggest thing is like just perseverance, like understanding that like we have to persevere, and like in order for the next generation to have an opportunity, like they need to see people that look like them. They need those people that they can look up to and speak to, talk to, reach out to. And I think it makes the path smoother for everybody else. But I think for us, we always step onto the field, and we know that when we step onto the field, we're representing so much more than just a referee. And I think that's something that is heavy to carry, but it's also an honor. And you feel good knowing that like you're representing a group and you're helping the next generation come through for sure.
100%. I mean, it also, you know, the everything going on with this administration and diversity, equity, and inclusion, and this assumption that people get to positions that they do not deserve based on race or sex is one of the most absurd things. And this is, I mean, you two are just two incredible examples of that exact thing. So shouts to you for sure.
Thank you.
The last question, did you have one?
No, go for it.
I have one more question. And this is, you know, speaking at refereeing at high levels, I was, you know, the 2023 NWSL final was refereed by Natalie Simon. We were there. On the sidelines,
they
didn't
let Christian play for some reason.
I don't know.
he was out there trying. So,
but the one thing I'm curious about is you both have refereed men's and women's games, and the commentary a lot, and we see it as well.
I thought you were going to ask who treats referees better.
That's a good question. I don't even want to get involved in that debate, but I will say the difference between refereeing men's and women's games, because when I'm watching, especially like I watch a lot of NWSL, I feel like there are, you know, they say this about the women's game in general, where it's like they don't flop and they're not trying to draw fouls and blah, blah, blah. And it's like they just go on with the game. And that part of it, honestly, is very entertaining, where you don't necessarily feel like in the women's game that they're trying to work the refs. And maybe they're working the refs in a different way. I don't know. But that, as a fan, I'm watching. That's what I noticed. But can you speak to any differences in those high-level games in refereeing men's and in women's soccer? Is there any difference at all? And not even in how you referee, but how the game is either interpreted or the fouls are different or something like that. Like, is there any difference at all?
I think there are differences, obviously, for obvious reasons. But I think from a referee perspective, the management of the players is different. Understanding that in a women's game, the interaction that we have usually is a little bit less with the players. Whereas in the men's game, there's usually a lot more interaction, a lot more talking with the players, just because that's what they need or that's what they desire.
I think it's because men are dramatic. But yeah, yeah, I mean, whatever. Yeah,
we got the drama. I didn't say that. You know what I mean?
I didn't say that. and then I also think the decisions are different because usually the fouls look different. But also you kind of made a point of like the women a lot of the time just keep playing through things. So as a referee, we have to make decisions when it's foul, no foul, yellow card, red card, which in the women's game, sometimes it could be a little bit more difficult because they do play through things sometimes. And as a referee, we have to recognize like, okay, yes, she's not laid on the ground and she's not bleeding or her neck is not broken or her leg isn't broken, but the challenge is still serious foul play. Still a red card. I think that
get back over here and get on the ground.
Let the world know you were hurt.
I think that part is definitely different. Understanding. So when we go into the different games, we have to like recalibrate our mindset sometimes. And remember, like just because the player keeps playing doesn't mean that the sanction isn't still warranted.
Interesting. So, okay, yeah. Natalie, you have any perspective to add?
It's true. Like women are a lot tougher. They play through a lot. I mean, you'll see nasty red card challenges pop up. Men will lay on the ground for 5 minutes. You need the doctor. And women will just pop right up. So it's like, as a referee, you really do have to adjust and say, well, I saw this challenge for what it is. Even though she's okay, it's still a red card.
This is my wife. Correct. My wife will say this as a nurse. She's like, you know, I've been in rooms where women are giving birth. And they don't react the way you are reacting right now because you have a tummy ache. And I'm on the couch. I'm like, just hold me. Hold me. So I think what you guys are saying is kind of right.
No. I think it's an interesting thing that isn't discussed enough, just in that, again, the game, it's the same sport, but the way it's interpreted from a referee's perspective has to be taken.
And I do think with women, it's shifting. I do see that coaches are encouraging the women players to be more vocal and to, if contact, go down.
Sell it.
A lot of times in the penalty area, you'd see women players have get fouled and would keep their feet. They don't go down as easily.
Yeah.
But I think there are some coaching changes that are happening in the women's game. So whereas they do speak up more, they are more vocal and in our faces a little bit. Okay. But it is different.
All right.
I'm the last question I'll ask very briefly on a scale of 1 to 10. How much does buttering you up during the game work? Like, if I'm like, bro, that was a great, the vision you got. You're doing a great job today. 10, it absolutely works.
Zero?
You think y'all heard it all?
Yes. And it does not factor in at all. When we make decisions, we don't even consider any of that.
Damn. So keep your Riz game in the locker.
It's entertaining. It is entertaining for us, though. Like, sometimes it's kind of funny. Like, we're like, oh, that's a good one. Yeah. But no.
Damn.
Okay, you're like, I do have a nice smile. Thank you.
You're still out of the game.
But it's decision is the decision.
Amazing. Nice. Natalie Simon, Alyssa Nichols, this has been super, super cool. Cool. I'm so glad that we finally made this happen.
I think I want to be a ref just to hang out with y'all.
Yeah,
this is great.
Just to hang out in the ref room.
That's a big part of it too. Hanging out with friends and people we get to know and like traveling all over is it's a
family.
We'll
see. We didn't get a chance to talk about it, but I the one bucket list thing I do want to do, mm-hmm. I want to do the referee exam, like the physical exam.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah. So,
just because I know I've heard
it's on his bucket list. It's on my bucket list. Because I ain't doing it.
It's intense. It's intense.
It definitely requires some training.
Yes.
Changing it out.
It's something I want to get done at some point.
I need to be surrounded by EMTs.
So, but yeah, maybe one day you guys can help me with that, or we can work on that together in some capacity.
For sure,
but yeah,
for sure.
It'd be great to hang out with you guys in person. Natalie and Alyssa, this is so great. I mean, as far as people, I don't know, they didn't give us any resources for people to go. I mean, the pro website.
Yeah, where do you sign up?
Where do you sign up?
You don't just show up at a U8 game, right? Where do you
But this is just really, I think it's an important thing because as I've been on Ref Talk and learning more about referees, you hear about not enough people participating in becoming referees. And it is a viable career path.
Let's say this interview inspires somebody to want to become a ref. What's the first thing they should do?
Just go to US Soccer, the website, and they have referee program as an option you can click on. And then it gives you the entire layout of your area. You just put in like where you live and it'll show you like how to get in contact with the local referee organization and how you can get certified and what you need to do. And then, that's it. You go take the class. Take the test.
Yeah.
You get your jerseys. And you're ready.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
I got my yellows in my back pocket. Red in the back.
You at the supermarket. You at the ice cream shop. That's too many. You try too many flavors. You out.
This has been an absolute honor, guys. Thank you so much for joining us. I know we went a little longer than we expected, but we were having too much
fun.
That's
right. It's a good time.
It really means
a lot. Thanks for recalibrating to do this again.
Even a tornado can't keep us apart.
Oh, thank you. Hey. You out there whistling at the tornado.
Literally. Oh, my goodness.
Thank you so much,
Thank you so much, guys.
Thank you, guys. Thank you. Thank you.
Refs on the show, huh? Thank you so much. Natalie Simon, Alyssa Nichols, absolute superstars.
Applaud the refs, bro. They're crushing.
I want to get a refs kit. You know what? They don't sell refs kits.
We should have it on the clothes rack over there.
There should be a refs store at every stadium where you could go full kit wanker.
Shine my shirt, ref.
Imagine that.
Get a selfie with the ref.
Give him a green card.
Okay. We got to do some rapido reactions. So let's get going. Our producer, Carter, he's going to toss us some topics. We have 90 seconds to opine. So, Carter, go for it.
Opine.
All right. Wow.
Yeah, he never uses that term. He sees a couple folks in suits.
Big words FC. Let's go.
Look at that, bro. All the this guy's trying to get a raise.
He hit the thesaurus before.
Yeah, for real.
All right. First,
let me
one.
Pontificate on what you're saying.
All right. First one here. Harry Kane breaks his trophy duck, wins the Bundesliga officially. Bayern Munich have officially won the Bundesliga. What are your thoughts on Harry Kane finally adding something to his trophy cabinet?
I mean,
it took was taking off a Tottenham shirt.
We should ask your thoughts, Carter. You're the Tottenham supporter. I mean,
it's like seeing your ex get married.
unlike these ungrateful Liverpool fans, who we're going to get to in a second.
Wow.
I am very, very happy for him.
Yeah,
I love
won
Harry
every
Kane.
Trophy, and you've won none.
Yeah, I love Harry Kane, and I'm very happy for him.
I'm
that's my sentiment, by the way. And as a ardent Arsenal supporter, I'm so happy for Harry Kane because I think he is such a good player. Overall, in the world of football, we will be talking about watching him play for years to come. And I feel about him the same way a lot of people feel like maybe about Ian Wright. Like, you may have not liked the team he played on, but you kind of respect him. I feel the same way about Harry Kane. Watching him struggle year after year after year and him not being the personality that says like, yo, I can't take this anymore. This is trash. He's always a team player. He always kept his mouth shut. Whatever frustrations he had, clearly he only had behind closed doors because he never showed it. He was a team player through and through. And for him to stay longer than he should have to try to win a trophy at Tottenham and Levy never putting the pieces around him to get it done. It's all Levy's fault. It's not Harry Kane. So I'm glad Harry Kane left.
Yeah, I'm happy. I'm happy for him. There's a little bit of like,
don't do it. The asterisk because you won it with Bayern.
No, no, no. All right. I like that he got. There was a little bit of humbling last season because he was like, I'm gonna go Bayern, win this trophy, do my thing, and Bayer Leverkusen was like, oh, hold up a second.
What if I don't lose it all?
What about invincible season in Germany? So, good for him. All right, what's up next?
All right, like I said, we're going to get to these Liverpool fans. Trent Alexander-Arnold officially announced his official goodbye to Liverpool today.
With that just a few hours ago,
yes. Liverpool fans seem to hate this man now. Does he leave the club as a hero or as a villain?
Has to be hero. I don't understand any other sentiment because, I mean, what else... not only has he won you trophies, not only has he brought incredible moments with some either great goals or unbelievable passes, there has to be some like appreciation there. And he's also dealt with the constant criticism of like, he's good going forward, he can't defend, he should probably be in the midfield and blah, blah, blah. And he's always stuck with it. And he's had good games, he's had bad games. But the net positive has just always been so valuable. I don't understand. The only issue people can be upset about is that they're not selling him and he's leaving on a free.
It's not his fault. That's the club's fault. And second of all, as far as I'm concerned, the only reason that there is a negative connotation to him leaving when everyone's kind of known it all season is because the way it's being handled. The video shows no real emotion. It looks like someone went to ChatGPT and said, yo, you know who Trent is. Give us a statement. And he read it off a teleprompter for the first time. And he got in a yacht and rode all the way to Madrid.
Right.
I'm pretty sure you can get to by yacht. I think it was very soulless and heartless for this is the club you've been with since you were a teenager, since you were a boy.
Right.
And this is how you handle your goodbye. This is why people are saying you're a rat. If you would have actually shown some emotion and it made it look like you actually care, which I'm not saying you don't. I'm just saying the video you put out. Does it make it look like you do? If you showed any emotion, maybe they wouldn't hate you.
It's so tough. I mean, they're not Hollywood actors or trained. I mean, who knows what they're comfortable.
You're also not a robot, bro. Shed one tear, will you? Pull a Luis Suarez. You'll cry a little bit.
All right, what's next, Carter?
All right, Leicester legend Jamie Vardy, also leaving the club at the end of the season, had a little bit of fun in one of his last Premier League matches ever, presumably. wanted to show you guys this and then get your reaction. We have the still image here and then we'll go from there.
Yeah. So,
well, because it's Jamie Vardy, it looks like he punched the ref in this picture.
We can't show the video, but obviously, I think a lot of people saw it. It went pretty viral.
Yeah. There was a bit of a collision between the ref
and a player. I forgot which player, but
I believe it was a player on Southampton and he collapsed to the ground because he got elbowed in the face, clearly holding his face. Jamie Vardy sees this, runs up to the ref, pulls up his hand where the whistle's attached to, and blows the whistle.
Which is hilarious. It's not his first instinct is not, hey, the ref needs medical help. He's like, no, stop the game.
Yeah. He was actually asked about it, and he said he saw Southampton breaking on the left, and he said, I got to stop this match.
He's like, I don't need to track back. I got a whistle right here.
My guy right here stops it. If I would have known this at the beginning of my career, I would have had much easier time defending.
It's interesting because we were talking about refs. Obviously, we were talking to the refs.
Yeah.
And you had a question about like the fourth official. Like, why do
we
need a fourth
time?
And then this official gets injured, and they need the fourth official to step in to be the center referee.
Well, it turns out in the interview, I was proven way wrong. And now in real life, I'm proven way wrong.
So this is how serendipitous all of this is. But this is pretty hilarious. And Jamie Vardy is just really, he's had a collection of moments like this in his, especially Premier League career.
This is why I love this, because if there's anybody else, they're looking out for the ref. Because Jamie Vardy, we're like, hey
the vibe.
Yeah, the vibe. Bro, he's like, everything's a party with Vardy, bro.
So this is I'm a fan of this, and it just look. I hope
this isn't Jamie Vardy's last game in the Premier League because I love him.
Yeah, we'll see. All right, what's up next?
All right, next up here, Giselle Thompson, Alyssa Thompson's sister, scored her first goal. We're gonna show you it here right now, and your thoughts on Alyssa Thompson assisting her sister's first goal.
Yeah, this is a
sister to sister over
sister
here.
Sister to sister, sister. You see the hug.
The only thing my sister's ever given me is an attitude. So this is kind of impressive.
This is honestly, I saw this. I'm like, this is one of the most wholesome things in the world. Because Angel City, they're also, you know, since they joined NWSL, have just
historically
underperformed. Yeah. Just like, I think they made the playoffs once, maybe. And it's just been, you know, the supporters, they get they sell the tickets and everything, but they just weren't getting wins. And now they're changing that up a bit. But this moment in particular, just the idea of like, you're playing you and your sister,
yeah,
both professional players, both
teenagers,
yeah, on the same team. You were doing TikTok dances a couple weeks ago, and then to get your first goal assisted by your sister,
yeah,
is like, I mean, it's a movie.
This is a Disney movie, right? Where both of these kids got like some weird muscle replaced in their leg, and now they both become superstar players. Yeah. And the only thing missing is a dog. Air Bud should be in this. This is a Pixar film.
And you see the hug, and it's just, I love Alyssa Thompson's face. She's in like so much shock because she's like, my little sister.
Yeah, the other teammates are like, do we get involved as a family thing?
I don't know.
We celebrate?
Is this a damn celebration?
Yeah, is mom and dad coming down now?
But no, so happy for both of them.
I love that this is wholesome. This didn't even hit my radar. You brought this in.
This literally brought...
I'm like, look at this player crunching his nuts. look at these sisters hugging.
This is what Trent Alexander-Arnold needs to look at so he can finally shed a tear.
Some real emotions, Trent.
Okay. That's another... We got one more.
Last one. There's some early rumors, murmurs that Lamine Yamal is going to be the cover athlete for EAFC 26. Could this be the beginning of the EAFC curse for Lamine Yamal?
Ooh, great question.
If not him, who else?
I mean, this is where I think it's not really as much of a curse as it was before. Nobody's buying physical copies of games anymore. Everybody's downloading to their PlayStations or Xbox.
Well, you thought it was the printing that caused the curse?
But it's still the cover. It's the effort, the trees that it costs to print those covers. So it doesn't hold the same exact weight. Even being on the cover, in my opinion, doesn't hold the same exact weight because now... everybody's on the cover. Every league gets a version.
I forget what magazine does it, but if I get voted the sexiest man alive, I'm not going to care that it's not in the aisle of the supermarket. You know what I mean? I'm going to be like, I'm pretty proud of it. I want everyone to share this. Do you have any idea what we've overcome?
That's fair. Look, when it comes to, EAFC, I disagree with you.
I completely disagree. I don't care if it's printed or not. I think it's huge. He's 17 years old. This is huge. What, you like it more if his sister passed him the ball? Is that what it is?
I mean, I'm not worried about it. That's what I'm saying. I'm not saying that it's not a big deal, but I'm just saying I'm not as worried about a curse.
I want to hang out with his dad when the cover drops.
Put
that's what I want.
Put dad on the cover, bro.
Yeah, hell yeah, bro. Put my dad on the cover so I know what he looks like, you know? So I could spot him.
That'd be quite.
It's the first time I could see him.
Well, they do have those.
Download a dad would be huge. That would have changed my life.
All right. I got to make a note for the new app. All right. It always comes back to every end of show. We're just like, hey.
We just end on me not having a dad.
Do you know where Alex's dad is?
Are you Alex's dad? Call
All right. Shout out.
We should have a phone that only my dad has number to and see if he ever calls. We'll get a landline.
Just a red phone that's always on the desk.
No? Nope. All right.
Anyway. Shout out to Carter. Another Robert. Happy the reactions in the books. Let's wrap up there. Everybody, thank you so much for tuning in to another episode of The Cooligans. Yahoo staff, did you have a good time? Round of applause if you did. Yeah. Look at that.
I don't know if y'all can hear
the studio audience. We have the little clap light, so they know.
Everyone applauded except one guy holding a pink slip. I don't know what that is.
We'll figure out. I'm sure it's something positive.
They're aiming it at Carter, so I don't really care.
So this is always fun. We have people in the studio. Thank you so much for tuning in. Make sure you follow the Cooligans everywhere at Soccer Cooligans on all socials. Hit like, hit subscribe on all the things you're supposed to do that at. YahooSports.com. Go to Yahoo Sports. Everybody does a lot of work to run the whole, you know, not just the website, but just everything around it.
There's a lot of people keeping this thing afloat. So
exactly. Thank you so much. We appreciate it very, very much. All right. Anything else?
That's it. Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday to you again. And shout out to the refs who joined us, Alyssa Nichols and Natalie Simon, which were a really, really dope thing. I'm glad
really cool.
Pro that's was open to doing that. So hopefully we'll get some more refs on the show.
Absolutely.
I wonder what the comment section is going to be like.
I can't wait.
Well, you can
we're going to do this to the comment section.
Hey, we got
to
look at that comment again.
Right. Also, if you are in Astoria, New York, in Queens, and it's late and you're hungry, go to a truck called Eat It. It's absolutely incredible.
All right. Shout out. All right. Take care, everybody. Peace.